the air in Conference Room 4B always smelled like stale ozone and expensive carpet cleaner. But at 6:45 p.m. on a Tuesday, it felt like it was being sucked out of the room by a vacuum. I sat there, my spine pressed against the cold leather of the executive chair, watching the digital clock on the wall blink. Each red digit felt like a heartbeat. I'd spent 6 years at this firm, 6 years of being the first one in and the last one to leave, dragging myself through the trenches of mid-management with the singular goal of seeing director printed on my business cards. I was 34. My hair was pulled back into a knot so tight it gave me a dull throb behind my eyes, and my tailored blazer felt like a suit of armor that was slowly shrinking. Mark sat across from me, the VP of operations, looking entirely too comfortable for a man conducting a final interview after the sun had gone down. He hadn't even opened the leather-bound portfolio I'd spent 72 hours obsessing over. The metrics, the projected margins, the 14% growth I'd personally steered. It was all sitting there, a closed book between us. The windowless room felt smaller than usual, the fluorescent lights overhead humming a low dissonant chord that set my teeth on edge. Mark wasn't looking at my resume. He was looking at the way my silk blouse caught the light, his eyes tracing a path that had nothing to do with global strategy. "You've done well, Sarah," he began, his voice dropping into that low, honeyed register that men in power use when they're about to ask for something they haven't earned. "Better than well. You're a shark. And this company, well, we reward sharks. But the director role, that's a different beast. It's not just about the spreadsheets. It's about the inner circle. It's about knowing that the person sitting next to you is more than just a colleague. It's about absolute, unwavering loyalty." He leaned forward, resting his elbows on the mahogany table. The scent of his cologne, something woody and far too expensive, drifted across the gap. I tried to maintain my professional mask, the one I'd perfected through 100 board meetings. I started to talk about the European expansion, about the way I'd managed to retain the top three accounts during the Q3 slump. I was fighting for my career with the only weapons I had, my work. But Mark didn't want to talk about Q3. He cut me off with a slow, deliberate wave of his hand, his wedding ring catching the light in a way that felt like a slap. "Sarah, stop. We know you can do the job. That's not why we're here at 7 o'clock on a Tuesday." He stood up, slowly, and began to pace the length of the room. The clicking of his Italian loafers on the hard floor sounded like a countdown. "The board trusts my judgment. If I say you're the one, you're the one. But I need to know that we have a special understanding, that when things get high pressure, you and I are on the same page, completely." He stopped pacing right behind my chair. I could feel the heat radiating off him. I didn't turn around. I kept my eyes fixed on the blank monitor at the end of the table. "I'm not sure I follow, Mark," I said, my voice coming out thinner than I wanted. I knew exactly what he was doing. I'd heard the whispers about the executive retreats, the girls who got promoted and then suddenly went quiet. The way the culture here felt less like a corporation and more like a curated collection of debts and favors. "I'm hosting a small private strategy session this weekend," he said, his hand finally coming to rest on the back of my chair, his fingers brushing the fabric of my blazer. "Just a villa in Cabo. Very exclusive. Just you and me to go over the final contract details and the salary bump." "It's a significant jump, Sarah. We're talking a 40% increase plus the equity. But I need to know you're all in. No distractions. Just us, finalizing the future." The deal was laid out on the table like a piece of raw meat. It wasn't an interview, it was an auction. And I was the commodity. My mind raced through the last 6 years. The missed birthdays, the canceled vacations, the nights I'd slept on the office sofa just to beat a deadline. All of it had been leading to this windowless room, to this man who thought my dignity had a price tag of 40% and some equity. The loyalty he wanted wasn't to the firm. It was to his ego, to the secret power he wielded in the dark corners of the office where the HR cameras didn't reach. I took a deep breath, the stale air burning my lungs. I turned the chair slowly to face him. He was smiling, that confident, predatory smirk of a man who has never been told no. Mark, I said, my voice finally finding its steel. I'm flattered that you value my contribution to the team, and I am absolutely all in when it comes to the director role and the success of this company. But my strategy sessions happen in this building during business hours. I won't be going to Cabo. I expect my work, the work that saved this department $3 million last year, to be the only loyalty you need. The transition was like a shutter closing. The warmth, the feigned intimacy, the mentor persona, it all vanished in a heartbeat. His face went flat, his eyes turning into two chips of cold gray ice. He didn't argue. He didn't even look insulted. He just stepped back, straightening his tie with a clinical precision that made my skin crawl. I see, he said softly. It wasn't a realization. It was a sentence. It's a shame, Sarah. I really thought you had the vision for this level of leadership. But perhaps you're right. Perhaps you've reached your ceiling here. Some people are just built for the mid-tier. He checked his watch, a heavy platinum piece that probably cost more than my first 2 years of salary combined. The interview is over. I have a dinner engagement. You should probably head home. You look tired. He walked out of the room without looking back, the heavy door clicking shut with a finality that echoed in the silence. I sat there for 20 minutes, alone in the dark, watching the red clock blink. I knew, somewhere deep in my gut, in that place where survival instincts live, I knew that the director role wasn't the only thing that had just died. The next morning, the world didn't end with a bang. It ended with a red light on a card reader. I arrived at 8 a.m., my mind already rehearsing how I would tell my team about the restructuring of the interview process. I swiped my key card at the glass doors. Access denied. I tried again. Access denied. A security guard I'd known for years, a guy named Pete, who I used to buy coffee for, stepped out from behind the desk. He wouldn't look at my face. He looked at my shoulder, his expression a mask of practiced indifference. I'm sorry, Sarah. I've been told your credentials have been deactivated. I have to escort you to HR. The walk of shame through the lobby felt like a mile. Every head turned. Every whisper felt like a serrated blade. In the HR office, a woman I'd never met handed me a folder. She used words like strategic realignment, redundancy, and budgetary shifts. She never mentioned Mark. She never mentioned the interview. She just kept pushing a severance agreement across the desk, her voice a monotone drone that treated my 6-year career like a clerical error. Your personal items have already been packed, she said, nodding toward a single cardboard box sitting by the door. We've taken the liberty of clearing your desk to make the transition easier. I looked into the box. My framed degree, a small succulent I'd kept alive through 3 busy seasons, a world's best manager mug. My team had bought me as a joke. My entire professional identity, reduced to the contents of a recycled container. As I was being led to the exit, I saw Mark. He was standing in the glass-walled lounge, a steaming espresso in his hand, laughing at something a junior analyst was saying. He caught my eye for a split second, a cold, empty look that held no recognition, no guilt, and no remorse. He had deleted me from the company server as easily as he'd deleted my future. I walked out into the bright, unforgiving morning sun, the box heavy in my arms. The job hadn't just vanished. It had been erased, leaving me with the chilling realization that in the world of high-stakes corporate power, loyalty is just a code word for possession. And if you aren't willing to be owned, you don't exist.